E aí, pessoal, tudo bem? Eu sou o Fábio Noda, jornalista aqui da Antena 1, e hoje eu vou conversar com o incrível Tom Spate, um músico e compositor britânico que está lotado de músicas aqui na nossa programação. So, hello, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm very, very well. Thanks so much for having me.
No, it's my pleasure, actually. So, first and foremost, I would like to thank you once again for being here with us today. So, it really is a pleasure for all of us here in the radio station. So, thank you so much for being here. And my first question, actually, you arrived here in São Paulo yesterday, and I heard that you were like tasting some Brazilian foods, and I would like to know, what is your favorite one so far? Your favorite dish or drink, whatever.
So we did a Brazilian TV show yesterday. We landed and then we did this TV show, but when we were kind of in the dressing room kind of area, there was this, the cheese bread.
The cheese bread, right.
Which is, you know, dangerous before you play. So I was kind of loaded up on cheese bread before I played. But I have fond memories because we came to Brazil in 2019 and we had the cheese bread then, which was, I can't seem to find it in the UK. Maybe we should start a petition, guys, to say, get the cheese bread in the UK. But that was amazing. And I also have been on the quest to bring the green drink, but I can never pronounce the
Guaraná.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's so I'm a big fan of that as well.
Yeah, our secret recipe. Have you tried brigadeiro?
No.
Chocolate candy.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, I really recommend you to try. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm here for all week, so.
So you have time to do
I'll
it,
just
right?
Bring it. I've got like a. I have hopefully a spare suitcase to bring back a load of Brazilian stuff.
Oh, that's nice. So right now, let's start talking about music. And I cannot start this interview but asking that the last time you spoke to us, you said that Love and Light was your favorite piece of work. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like the most fun I've had in a studio, for starters. Like, I recorded it with like my friends and it was just such a great time, really. And I was lucky to work with loads of great people that I can call friends as well. And the songs, I think they're like the most kind of personal, and also I feel really kind of proud of them as well. Like, I'm more confident with my songwriting and performing and singing and all of that kind of stuff. And I just feel like it's, you know, I've been making music for like 10 years and it feels like this is
your prime.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of the other records as well. Like Collide, you know, opened so many doors for me. You know, I wouldn't be here in Brazil without that album and songs like Little Love and all that kind of stuff. So I just see them as like, you know, I don't know, maybe children or something where you, I can't have a favorite just yet, but I am super, super proud of this album. And I think it's, you know, it's like, it's so nice to kind of just play the songs and, you know, have people like singing them back to you and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to the Brazil shows we got this week in Sao Paulo and Rio and stuff.
Yeah,
so
the Brazilian passion, right?
Yeah,
it's a different player here.
It's just like I think they've got like the best crowds. It's just like when we played in 2019, it was just like, it was like magical. Like we both came away, Lydia and I, who I sing with, we just both came away thinking, wow, we need to come back here again. And like, how can we make it happen sooner? Obviously with the pandemic and COVID and all that kind of stuff, we would have definitely have come back on the second record, but it just wasn't possible. So we're just super, super excited to be here now.
Actually, what you just mentioned was my last question of the interview, but I'll just say quickly, you couldn't tour your second album because of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would like to know about this tour you're doing right now. You're going to be playing old songs, or you will be more focused on Love and Light?
It's like a greatest hits without any hits.
Oh, that's nice.
No, it's like, it's a bit of everything. It's like, I think we've tailored the set list a little bit to what songs have kind of been played a lot in Brazil and what songs, you know. The amazing thing about things like Spotify these days is like, you can literally see like, you know, what songs people are listening to. And so we kind of really just want to make sure that like, if you come to the show, that you have the best possible time you can have with these songs, really.
That's amazing. Wonderful World, like a single from your latest album, actually plays a lot here in Antenna 1. So, and you also mentioned that it was the job you were most proud of. So what can you tell us about this single specifically?
So Wonderful Wonder is like a song basically about I suppose it's the most romantic kind of love song on the record, and there is like kind of breakup songs, and there's songs about losing someone and whether that, you know, and friendship and all this kind of stuff. But that is like my love song of the record, and it's I just think it's like a really complete piece of work as like songwriting goes, and I don't know, something about it just feels like I'm a fan of music, and if I heard that, I think that would be my favorite song. And that's, you know, that's, I'm just trying to kind of, I suppose, you know, just be, obviously I'm, you know, I work on the songs, but like take a step back and look at them and think, mm-hmm. would I like this? Do I like this? And, you know, that's what makes me really proud of this album. I love the songs.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones too. Wonderful ones.
And I'm so glad such you guys are playing music. It as
yeah.
well.
It was on our Golden Hour.
Mm.
Yeah, here in Tenerife.
And I stayed up to listen to that Golden Hour.
Yeah.
So, and I filmed a thing on my social media, my Instagram and stuff, and I think I was in bed, like listening back, filming myself. So I'm not lazy. It was just there's a time difference. I promise.
So, like stepping back a little bit in your career, you mentioned. I'm sorry.
Don't say sorry. You're doing amazing. Honestly, I can only say three words in Portuguese, so you never say sorry.
Little Love.
Yeah.
The single from your first studio album. It was a huge success here in Brazil, even though English is not a primary language. So I'd like to know about you. Like, how do you feel the feeling about Ken touching people and expressing yourself with the universal language, which is and always will be music?
Do you know what? I still don't truly understand why you guys like my music so much, but I think that's like the magic of music, isn't it? Like that it can be this, like, it's this like universal truth. You don't really need to maybe even know what I'm saying or kind of, but you can feel what I'm saying. And yeah, I never expected to be here or to be playing songs. I just think it's a gift, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. So my next question is actually about your cover of your record. That little bird, blue bird.
Yeah.
There's someone meaning about that.
Yeah, so I found out the artwork in the UK is like this like a famous artist called Dan Baldwin, but I found out that the swallow was like a meaning of hope, and the album is basically, it's like 12 songs that are written to different people in my life, like whether it's like my best friend or my girlfriend or someone I've lost, or and it's they're all kind of what I was noticing. There's also like a theme of hope in my music, and it seemed like the perfect kind of fitting album cover for this record. And like it's so inspired by it as well that the art of the record is of the actual painting itself is called Love and Light.
Oh,
so I was
nice.
Like, I wanted to write a song. You know,
Call Love and Light.
Call
right.
Love and Light, and that, you know, so I owe a lot to Dan Baldwin, who did the art, and I think it's just really cool. I kind of wanted to break the mold of having my face on the cover, because I'm getting older, you see, you know, and it's like you don't want to look at that anymore, but yeah, but I'm really proud of the album cover. I think it's pretty cool. It's like it's almost as well my version of the Batman sign.
Oh,
you know, you know, like
nice.
With the wings as well, and the bat signal and stuff. We've been using it at the shows as like a hologram, with a moving swallow and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
You're actually using it on your jackets.
Yeah, jackets, shirts,
yeah,
socks, pants, everything.
That's really nice.
Full out merch, album. Yeah, I even have shoes.
Shoes.
Yeah, I've turned into like a professional footballer, where I basically just got my own swag on my foot.
I saw it on Instagram that you wrote like Love and Light on your shoes.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed the bird was there too.
Yeah, I've got
too.
The birds and the colors of the album, the denim jackets. It's just, I think it's like, it's quite, the thing I like about it is like, it's minimal as well. It's like quite, it's not too like, you know, like, don't know what the right word would be to kind of describe it, but it's quite a minimal piece of art. It's not too busy, you know, so it's quite simplistic, I think.
Yeah, like a minimalist.
Yeah.
When you talk about the album, you said that you wrote songs about like all of your friends and
yeah,
like kind of stuff. And Ed Sheeran, actually, who we were talking at the beginning of the interview, he recently released a new studio album called Autumn Variations.
He obviously heard my album and thought, I'm going to copy
like
him.
It's like the same idea, right?
Yeah, no, it's. I'm sure, you know, we played a couple of gigs with him in the earlier days, but I don't think he's heard my album, so I'll be all right.
But really hope so.
That'd be cool if he's been listening to it. But I think when you write songs, like the best thing about songwriting is kind of giving a song meaning. And if you can write like a letter that you want to send to someone as like a song, that's pretty cool,
that's
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then my songs have always been pretty personal. And like the first album was really personal. You know, I wrote a lot of those songs while I was in hospital, like battling with Crohn's disease. And I think it's important that songs have like meaning. And, you know, I'm not just writing for the sake of it. I think that's what makes it special, really.
Right. Talking about Ed, the Autumn Variations project, actually, he recorded all of the tracks in the living rooms of their fans.
Oh, wow.
His fans, actually.
Yeah.
And I heard that you also, like, made some live concert on your fans.
Wow, you've done your research.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
What can you tell us about that?
So Lydia and I, we basically in the pandemic, our, I won't get too political, but our Prime Minister, he put this rule out that you could play to 30 people in a garden.
Right.
And so we took full advantage of that, keeping to the rules though. And we played to fans in the garden, and it was like amazing. Like we played new songs from that record, Everything's Waiting for You, and it was just like it was the best thing about, you know, I know that we'll have this with on Wednesday and Thursday in Sao Paulo, like, is the connection with the people. It's just like, you know, I want to meet every single one of those people after the gig and, you know, get a photo, sign a vinyl for them and have that connection. And, you know, I was going around to people's houses with Lydia and we were basically rocking up, playing some songs and having a cup of tea and having a chat. And it was just like, you know, I think music, is the best thing about it is just having that connection. You know,
the connection must be like amazing.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, you're meeting people that like love your music, and like it's a beautiful feeling, without any pun on the record there. Right. But yeah, it's great.
So the last time you were here in Brazil, I don't know if you know this, but you were referred to as the new Ed Sheeran, and I want to like about you. How do you feel about being compared to such a great artist as him? And if you could talk about a little bit for us, how was to like work with him? You said that you make a little.
I think the best thing about Ed Sheeran, apart from obviously he's an incredible songwriter and singer and all these kind of things, is his like work ethic, like the fact he works really hard, and he's like one of the biggest pop stars, and he plays an acoustic guitar. Like that's amazing, and you know,
that's exactly what you
in
do,
2023. Yeah. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he just writes, he gigs, he's just like, I just think, you know, that's what a musician should be like. They should live and breathe it, and they should, you know, just give it their all. And I think he definitely does that.
That's amazing. And we're talking about recognition right now, and your last album actually reached number one in the album on charts.
Yeah,
right?
What kind of
recognition means to you?
Oh, I think that's a nice one, because like it was the independent album chart. So I think it's like, you know, we're not like a big global kind of brand, kind of major label record vibe kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We are kind of like, you know, we're quite a small team that just, you know, do it for the love of it. We're not making Ed Sheeran money. So, you know, it's just, for me, that is just like, again, back to that connection with the fans, that people have spent their hard earned money on a record. And that's just like really meaningful and amazing to me, really.
It really is all about passion, right? And you mentioned that you couldn't wait to bring your brand new music to our country.
Yeah.
And now you're finally here. Like, how are you feeling about that?
Well, like, you know, with yesterday, with the TV stuff, that is just, it's just so surreal. You know, I saw when we were playing the song The One, there was like the audience like in front of us in the TV show, and you could see people singing the songs. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it got me really excited for the
they
gigs.
Really know you.
Yeah, and it got me excited for the gigs this week, really. But I've, you know, we've been dreaming about coming back for nearly 5 years. So it feels like, it feels like an early Christmas present.
Yeah, that's really nice. And talking about your music again, besides that, you also collaborate with another, like, other artist, and I would like to talk with you about your experiences with Paul McCartney.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I heard that he listened to your compositions, right? Your songwriting.
Yeah, yeah. He heard songs like Willow Tree. He heard those songs, and yeah, he was. I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah.
You know, and I, it's he's just what a guy. Like, you know, he's I think he's like 83 now, and he's still. You know, I heard that he was playing Brazil last year.
He's playing actually this year on
is
December.
He playing? Is he coming back?
Yeah,
wow.
He's okay. In December, right?
So yeah, so I you know I can't even you know he's been here twice since then. I need to get you know, and he's 83. So no, he's just what can I say about him? He's just a legend. He's just incredible.
In my personal opinion, the greatest songwriter of all.
Yeah,
time.
Well, and John Lennon as well. Yeah. You know, and it's just like the and George Harrison. They had three of the best songwriters in the band, right? And I even like some of Ringo's songs either, but. You know, the Beatles are everything to me, you know, and Oasis as well, you know, they're the reason that I, you know, picked up a guitar really and wanted to write music.
Yeah, I really know, like, all about your big passion about the Beatles when you were growing up.
Yeah.
So I have a really tricky question. I would like to ask you, who is your favorite Beatle?
Oh, my head would say Paul McCartney, yeah. But my heart would say John Lennon.
Your heart.
Yeah, because for some reason, there's like, I have memories of being a kid in the back of my mum's car with the like a John Lennon greatest hits on the cassette. And it just like, every time I hear those songs like Jealous Guy and Imagine and Power to the People, all these kind of songs, they just bring back kind of my childhood of kind of growing up and just kind of just being amazed by music and not really knowing what, you know, who John Lennon was, but just loving his songs. And that was a similar thing with Oasis as well. You know, I didn't know who Liam Gallagher was or Noel Gallagher, but I knew that they were just, it just felt so exciting and cool to me as a, like an 8-year-old, really.
There is any specific memory that you mentioned that you can like think about, well, when you're listening to the Beatles?
I remember when, the Beatles. Yeah. Just in the backseat of my mum's car, just like listening, like, just for long car journeys. I suppose as well, like the Red and Blue albums, like the greatest hits, and the Red being, I think the Red is actually the later stuff and the Blue's the early stuff, correct me if I'm wrong. But just falling in love with it, learning the songs on the guitar. And then with Oasis, like when I was 8 years old, I was trying to pretend to be Liam Gallagher in the mirror, like doing the stance and, you know, having the hair and all that kind of stuff.
That's really nice. So, right now I'd like to propose some kind of time travel for you. Is that all right?
Yeah, let's do it, yeah.
So, I heard that you have some experience at the Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts,
yeah,
which was raised by Paul McCartney, right?
Yeah.
How was your experience there?
Amazing. Like, I met the guy who co-produced Love and Light. You can get it now. Rich Turvey, who's one of my best friends. I met him at Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts. I met a great songwriter called Mike, who I wrote some songs with. I met a girl who sings on Willow Tree called Jess, who features in the band The Staves. So it was, for me, it was just like meeting great musicians that have become friends, really. And like, I had a great time there. I support Liverpool.
Yeah.
So that was obviously nice to be closer to the football team. And just the people, there are a lot, actually, Liverpool is a lot like the Brazilian people. They're super friendly, super, just, they feel warm, you know? They're just, like, really friendly.
So, besides the friendship that you made there, you also won the Songwriter Award of the Year, something like that. What was the process about this?
You get some money.
You got some money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And at the time, I was, like, a very poor student, so I think I used the money for, like, 2 months worth of rent.
All right.
But yeah, I'd never expected to win anything like that.
And the award like somehow like boost your career or made you feel more confident about yourself?
I think the first time I felt like maybe I could do music full time was when I recorded with, do you know the band Keane? Who did Summer Only We Know?
Oh yeah, I do. They actually recorded with Niall Horan.
Did they? I don't know about that.
I'm not sure about that. So they're
great songwriters, and they recorded my first set of songs, and that kind of gave me the initial boost of thinking, oh, these guys are you know, these I'm fans of this band and they like me, so maybe I could do it.
That's really nice. So I would like to ask you a more personal question right now, because we know Tom Spade as a prolific songwriter and a singer and all of this stuff, but I would like you to know, besides music, who are Tom Spade?
Oh God, I ask myself that every day. No, I would say I don't know. That's a very difficult question. Music is my hobby. Like, yeah. It's like I love films and photography and all of that stuff. But everything always kind of comes back to music. You know, where if I'm watching a film, I'm like, oh man, I'd love to have my songs in this film.
The soundtrack.
Or, you know, if I'm taking pictures, I'm like, oh, this could make good artwork for it. And for me, it's just like, you know, my girlfriend, she's amazing. And she's obviously, you know, that she kind of takes me a bit away from the music thing. But we have music in common as well. We love listening to records at home and stuff. So, and my friends are all kind of mainly musicians. I have school friends that... you know, that aren't musicians, but we all kind of bonded over music. So I think it's just who I am, really. It's part of me. But I think generally I'm kind of like a pretty chilled guy that just feels very lucky to be doing music and lucky to be alive, really.
It's really deep, actually, your connection with music. And you mentioned like films and shows and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like thinking, you wonder if your music was in there, but actually your songs were playing in The Voice, which is one of the greatest shows in the world. And MasterChef, actually.
Do you like MasterChef?
Yeah.
Do you get that in Brazil?
Yeah, we have this.
Wow, Brazil. Okay. Yeah.
And your songs were on there.
How
that felt to you?
So I watch a lot of TV shows, and I'm like, when I'm listening to watching the shows, I'm like, they inspire songs. So like, I don't know if you have this show over here, like, do you have a show called This Is Us?
This Is Us, yes.
Yeah, which is about like families and different couples and going through time and stuff. And that's inspired a load of different songs because the music's brilliant on that show and also the storylines are great. So like, if this is how the story ends on this album, is inspired by This Is Us. It's a line that Kate, who's one of the people and the actresses on the show, says, you know, if this isn't how our story ends. And I was like, oh, that's a great title. I'm going to steal that. There's no copyright infringement. But yeah. So it's always inspiring stuff. And, you know, and I love going to the cinema. I think the cinema is an amazing thing. And hopefully, you know, that will continue to keep alive. I know that obviously COVID kind of has really hit the cinema industry and all that stuff. But I don't drink alcohol. I don't go to nightclubs really and stuff. I like being at home if I'm not gigging and stuff, really.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's not very rock and roll though. I should be doing drugs and dating multiple women, but I'm not.
Yeah, probably, but this other this other version is also really,
yeah,
really
it's
nice.
It's a better way of life, my side of just being
more healthy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So, if you could send a message to all the rising stars around the world, what did you say?
What would I say? I would say, as long as you're enjoying it, just, you know, I think for me, music's never really felt like a job. It's more of a, like, it's just a passion. And it's like, I think if you haven't got that passion for it, then maybe there's no point to it. So I think you just got to live and breathe it. And if you're enjoying it, as long as I don't want anyone to not do it because they feel like they have to do it, I think you should want to do it. And if you are doing that, I think only good things will happen, really.
The passion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what moves the world. So I think it was this. I had the questions that I prepared. So I would like to thank you so much
for No, thanks so much for having me. And thanks so much for playing the songs as well.
Yeah, of course. As I said to you, Strangers Now is one of my favorite ones of your discography. So
we'll play it for you today.
No, thank you so much. That would be an honor for me. Então, pessoal, essa foi a nossa entrevista exclusiva com Tom Spade, o cantor e compositor britânico, que está presente aqui na nossa programação. Eu espero que vocês tenham gostado do nosso bate-papo. Não se esqueçam de se inscrever no nosso canal e curtir o nosso vídeo. Até mais!